president of the Lansing City Council, Brian Jeffries. Brian, how are you?
Good, thank you. Boy, thanks for having me.
Boy, last night's meeting was action-packed.
Yeah, you know, every Monday night.
The budget issue again was at the forefront, and council members like Jody Washington not happy with the way things turned out and not happy about the information she's getting. What's your take on that?
Well, I think, you know, I heard her comments on your show, and I think those were, you know, pretty uniform throughout the meeting in terms of what other council members had to say. There's certainly a frustration there on the part of council in terms of not only not getting the information, complete information, but certainly getting some information just right at the last minute and then being expected to make some major decisions. But I think what the realization that council is coming to is, you know, there's a real serious issue of management here in the city, or I should say mismanagement. This is the fourth year now that we've had deficit elimination plans that are coming for us or to us for action right at the last minute, sometime after, even after the fiscal year is closed. And what it's telling us is that the management of the city, what's happening is we're spending more than what we have coming in. And it's clear to us, based on the comments made by the administration, that they just don't have a control over monitoring these revenues or lack of revenues coming in, and they don't really come across this stuff until the very last minute. And what it's resulting into the city, and we've seen this now over the last couple of years, we've reduced our general fund amounts from $13 million down to $4 million. We now have a $2 million deficit that's being projected from 2014 through 2016 in our downtown Tiffin district, which will now fall on the backs of the taxpayers of the city of Lansing. We've got two reductions in our credit ratings. And so these are some of the things that we're starting to experience as a result of this. And I think what you saw last night are people are coming to the realization that there's a significant, serious problem here that we have to deal with.
Who's responsible for the mismanagement?
This is all coming from the administration. I mean, we have continually asked for this information. We ask to look at it in a timely way. You know, it's one thing, Tony, if we get a deficit elimination plan that's, you know, given to us in January and we have to deal with a deficit of $1 million over a 4 or 5 month period of time. Here we were given a plan in 2 weeks that was a $1.8 million deficit. We have no choice but to have to pass that. And when we talk to them and ask, okay, what's the root cause of this? How are we coming up short when the projections you're giving us for the budget that we pass aren't coming in? What can we do to address that sooner? What safeguards can we put in or trigger points that we can look at so we can figure this out earlier and address it in a more significant and serious way? And we're being told that, you know, we're just not going to give it to you, or we don't know, and these are the results.
On this program, Mayor Brennero has said, you have staff, you folks need to do your own homework. He's busy running a city. He doesn't have time to give you all the information that you want when you have access to the same information. How do you respond to that?
Oh, we do not have access to the information. Every time we ask for the information, for example, on this deficit, it was first brought to our attention in April during the budget process, and we were told from the administration, we think there's going to be a deficit at the end of the year, and we specifically asked, will there be a deficit elimination plan coming forward? And they said yes, and we said, okay, what's the deficit and what's the plan going to look like? And we were specifically told from the administration, we're not going to tell you. So, and when you talk about the staff that we have, council has one internal auditor and two staff people. We have a total of three staff people in this city that we used to have, before all the budget cuts, five auditors. We used to have seven staff members in addition to that. We certainly don't have the resources and assets that the city has in terms of getting access to this information and trying to decipher what the information means. And the only way we can get access to the information is if it's given to us through the administration. And the administration has made it very clear that these employees are the administration employees, and they'll get it to us when they think it's time and when they're ready to give it to us.
Why do they take their time? Why do they drag their feet from your perspective? Why don't they give you the information you're looking for?
You know, I don't know if it's an issue of that they're just trying to hide the ball. I don't know if it's an issue that they just don't know. A lot of this is coming to us right at the last minute in terms of our end of our fiscal year, so it may be that they're understaffed and they're just not getting the information or have the ability to get that information. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. This has been an issue, and you know this, Tony. We've talked about this for years. This has been an issue in terms of trying to get information from this administration, for many, many years now. And I think what we're seeing now is some of the significant results of what that means in terms of, other aspects of the city. Our credit rating, we're now maxed out in our millage rate. That's what we're dealing with, and I think you're seeing the frustration now being expressed by council, and it's pretty uniform.
Do you think that this administration refuses to work with the city council?
We've been pretty patient. If you watch the city council meetings and our requests for information, I don't believe that the city council is asking for information that is too extreme. I think we're being very reasonable in the requests that we make. It's usually tied to our budget process, and that would have to be an answer for the mayor to give. I can't read his mind, but I just know that this is something that we've experienced for many years now, and it's not moving the city forward.
In defense of the mayor and the administration, it must be a challenge trying to forecast what kind of revenue is going to come in when mm-hmm. you don't know what you're going to get via local taxes from the state and through other sources.
Well, that's true, and that's why, when you put a budget together, it's more than just a best guess. We have supposedly the best and the brightest here, and we should be, hitting the target. But in addition to once you pass that budget, what the concern is that the council has is that as we implement that budget throughout the fiscal year, there has to be monitoring and trigger points put in place that, that will tell us that, in September, geez, we're not getting in the revenues that we thought we were, or in October, we're not getting them in. And so we should be, finding out $1.8 million is significant, and we should be finding this out sooner rather than later so we can address it in a way that, spreading it over 6 months versus spreading it over 2 weeks is a much different situation to deal with. And again, we're coming up short in that area.
While a young employee at Channel 10, I can recall covering Mayor Hollister. Mm-hmm. I went to his home many times. I can remember sitting in on meetings, and I remember how I heard many times how he would grab information, whether it was budget or whatever, and he would have meetings, and he would sit down and explain things before you even went to the public city council meetings. Mm-hmm. Do you recall those times? Do you remember hearing that? And why don't we do that now?
Well, I came on board right when Hollister was leaving, and what Dave would do is when he would have his budget or other significant issues that would come forward, he would be calling not only his staff in to talk about it, obviously, but he'd be calling in council members and sitting down and talking with them to work through these things and giving previews and information out, sharing the information. He was his whole administration was based on collaboration, and it truly was. And we would have weekly meetings with the mayor every Monday afternoon to talk about not only what was on the agenda, but what was coming forward in the city. And the council had heads up on a lot of things, and it creates a buy-in on certain things. And it also, from the mayor's perspective, if I was the mayor, I'd want to hear what council had to say. There might be ideas there that could be shared and implemented, but certainly the sharing of information and the process was much, I think it made for a much better process.
Where are we with the Oliver Towers deal and Lansing Community College? I know that the parking lot to that facility mm-hmm. has been taken mm-hmm. care of. What about the towers itself?
Well, the agreement that we passed yesterday has an option within it for LCC within 2 years to purchase the Oliver Tower property. We were told as we went through this process that once this passed, the administration would sit down with LCC as well as the Lansing Housing Commission and HUD to work through the process of selling that parcel. And the issue is getting a sign-off from HUD in terms of being able to sell that property. There is some financial strings that are still attached there. But once that occurs, LCC will have the option to purchase the property, and hopefully that can be done within 2 years. There is a premium on the sale. Right now, when you sell the two parcels individually, as they stand alone individually, they come in at a lower price than if you were to sell the entire city block together. So when we sold the property last night on the parking surface lot, that came in a little bit lower than what was initially offered when LCC brought forward the combined offer for both parcels. And if we do sell it to LCC within the next 2 years, we'll get that premium as well as what the appraised value was. So that's what the goal is at this point.
Bob Trezeisen, the president of Davenport University, both said on this program that they believe Mayor Bonero was instrumental in having the Davenport deal done for a new building. Do you agree with that? Is that a good deal?
For the building that they have now?
For the new building that they're going to purchase.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, it was interesting. I mean, when we started this whole deal, you know, with the sale or with the exchange with Davenport for that property, and then LCC came into play, you know, there was a real concern of Davenport leaving the city. But, you know, in terms of working this out, we now have Davenport, you know, staying here in the city as well as LCC purchasing the property. So, you know, I think that, you know, it's worked out for the best. It certainly, you know, it would have been nice, I think, still from the council, some of the council members' perspective in terms of the Oliver Tower property, to be able to put that out for an RFP. But in the situation that we do have with our budget and how that's helping to eliminate the deficit, again, I think we were, you know, didn't really have much of a choice there.
All right, final question for you, Brian. We've had other members of the city council on the show. We've also had some citizens who attend Lansing City Council meeting who have expressed the frustration with a lack of attendance and focus by some members of the council. We've even heard how some leave to go and eat, and I just want to get your take on this. Is there a problem?
Yeah, I mean, we've struggled with that. And it's not just, you know, the regulars. There's a lot of discussion amongst council members. It's, council members coming in late, council members not attending. Council members, it's not that they leave to eat. They actually bring the food in and eat up on the dais when, we're conducting meetings. And, it's, you know, it's something that, we've had a lot of discussion about. It's something that, you know, ultimately the voters are going to have to decide in terms of if they're ward members or at-large members, you know, whether they support that kind of activity and behavior. It's certainly what you don't see at a council meeting is the cameras are on the public most of the time. They're not facing us except for at the time that we're actually doing business. And there's a lot of interaction that goes on that is not conductive, positive anyway, for conducting the business that we do. And that's been a real struggle for the last 4 or 5 years in terms of how to get management over that. And it's been, in terms of attendance, it's been difficult over the last couple of years in terms of even getting quorum.
Well, how is it a struggle, Brian, for those members? I mean, you know what you're getting into, so you have to set your calendar, and you have to eat before you get there. It seems like if you were, you know, chowing down at a meeting, it just seems kind of silly. You know what you're getting into. Handle your business accordingly.
Well, absolutely, and there are those that do and those that don't. And, you know, we're all adults, and we're all responsible for how we conduct ourselves. I think it has to be an issue where you can get five council members together that want to put together some rules in place that will deal with those things, and we just don't have that right now.
All right, Brian, we always appreciate your time. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Appreciate it.